Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, welcome back, everybody, to another year of the Sunday Podcast.
I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
Back in 2025 for our fifth season. You can expect more of this.
He's claiming that he was ill before the semifinal, whatever, but, you know, I just feel like at that point he was just looking for attention.
And some of this.
You normally say no human is limited, so I can't limit myself, or I can't just say I can do.
As well as event coverage around all the major races on the UK circuit.
And if you're a fan of the pod, please give us a rating and review on your preferred podcast streaming service.
And if you want to stay up to date with all the latest news, give us a follow on Instagram at Sunday Podcast.
As always, thanks for listening. See you next time. And we hope you enjoyed the episode.
Hello, guys. Welcome back to another episode brought to you by SportsShoes.com. As always, big weekend roundup incoming. Lots to discuss. We've got the Rabat Diamond League. I've got the LA Track Fest. And of course, some meets around Europe and around the globe as well. Matt, mate, where do you want to start?
I think we've got to start in Rabat. I think it was an incredible Diamond League. And it's funny, isn't it? When you can't help but compare between that and Grand Slam. And I think Grand Slam will be, I guess, heavily judged this weekend coming just because of how successful Rabat was. I mean, you had world-class athletes there. You had large fields, you know, 20 or so in the steeple, the women's 3K, that sort of thing. Even the 1500s and the 800s were absolutely stacked. So I guess you're giving more athletes an opportunity to run. And also you had world-class times and you had an amazing crowd who were engaged, and obviously they were there for one reason, and that was Al Bakkali. To see him do his thing in the steeple, I thought the atmosphere was terrific. So I think I've always sort of liked what Grand Slam are trying to do. I do believe we need change in the sport, and I feel like it will be criticized. It's early on in their sort of, I guess, timeline. But, you know, it does remind you when you get a good Diamond League, you know, nothing beats it, does it? And yeah, Rabat was terrific.
I think that's it, mate. It's when you get a good Diamond League. And that's where, I guess, Grand Slam are trying to ensure that we get a good meet every single time by having these guys signed on week in, week out. But obviously, as we've seen, it doesn't always work out like that, but time will tell. And as I think we've said most weeks, mate, I think any pressure that Grand Slam puts on the Diamond League, it forces Diamond League to come out and make sure they put on brilliant fields like they did in Rabat. And I think particularly for us, it's easy for us to get excited when there's a lot of Brits running in the Diamond League. But when we get excited at what was pretty much international fields, obviously apart from Max Bergen, I think that's when you know it's a really good meet, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I think the distance races are a little bit more appealing the more in it. It's something we've always said with Grand Slam, can they get 12 in those races instead of 8 in a 3,000? Just more names, more bodies, more storylines to sort of cover and look out for, and, you know, which means you're going to have more people interested, aren't you? So, yeah, I'll be intrigued how Grand Slam develops once again this weekend and then into LA. Yeah, the Diamond League for me has really got going, and we've got to start there. We've got to start with Chebet running 8.11. I mean, that was just freakish. That was like absolutely, you know, when she gets out there, they go off ridiculously hard. I do love watching those sorts of races because you get all those young Ethiopians and Kenyans who try and go with her, and they just completely blow up. You know, their race is over after three or four laps, and then Chebet's out there just grinding on her own. And, you know, for a while you're like, oh, she's slipping away from the lights, she's going to be suffering. You expect her to be suffering the pace she's moving, and then just hammers it home once again. And it's just like, this lady's just untouchable.
She looks supreme, mate. And that is where the lights are such a cheat code, like compared to years gone by, where even if you fall off them a little bit, if you know that that's like a world lead or close to a world record, then like you expect yourself to be a bit like in a box. And I think that's what like really where athletes now can just keep grinding. But I want to talk about obviously Healy and Bazzacletti, not far. Well, I say not far behind, second and third, but, some great times, 8:26 and 8:27. And obviously for Healy, that's a massive run as well.
It's huge. I thought the Bazzacletti did a fine job in pacing herself. Healy was smart. I don't know if she would have identified Bazzacletti before the race and said, look, I'm just going to kind of key off of her. But Healy again then sat off Bazzacletti and then just managed to reel her in and got right up onto her and only just got out kicked. But it's a huge time for Healy as well. And Bazzacletti, to think 8:26 and 8:27 and you're 15 seconds behind, almost 100 meters behind the winner, is just crazy because of the times they're running. But yeah, these two are looking like if they keep going, you know, about the business the way they're going, I don't know what Healy's going to drift towards come the champs. I think she is, when we spoke to her, probably always going to look at the 1500. But, you know, Bazzacletti's already an Olympic medalist in the distance races. And she's just looking like she's going to continue that form the way she's moving. But I think what Chebet's doing is going, I guess, not under the radar as such, but it's not being hyped as much as it should. And I don't really know why.
Perhaps right.
Because like, on the roads, sub 14 minutes on the roads, like that 3K is just ridiculous. You know, we're looking at Faith Kipyegon trying to break 4 minutes to the mile. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Chebet's almost got a better chance of doing that.
Yeah, I think, like you say, with people like Kipyegon out there, there's just a lot of women who are so dominant that, like you say, she almost goes under the radar a bit, doesn't she?
And ridiculous what she is doing. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, I guess Jakob is the equivalent on the men's side, you know, when he's, you know, running 7:17 for 3000. I guess those two times are very similar. A good way to always gauge is looking at those World Athletics points to see like how World Athletics value these performances. Mm-hmm. But it's unbelievable. It really was. And then we got to move on to that steeple because, that Frederick Rupert of Germany and Alba Cali, 8 flat. But, you know, there is, maybe some facts that should be disclosed about Frederick Rupert and who he's coaching with. I dug into this a little bit after his interview. He said he was obviously coached by a lady called Isabel Baumann. And she was the wife, but also the coach to a guy called Dieter Baumann, who won Olympic 5000 in 1992. And I think he ran like 12:54, a German guy. But Dieter Baumann, he actually served a drugs ban for 2 years for nandrolone in 1999. A little while after his Olympic goal, but still served a ban for drugs. But yeah, before the, you know, in 1999, so before the Sydney Olympics, had to miss out on that. And obviously his wife was coaching him at the time. So yeah, there's a link there. So there's a little bit of, I guess, tainted image if you associate yourselves with the pair. But it kind of adds up because he was a world-class 5,000 meter runner, right? And Isabel Baumann was obviously a great coach to him and obviously knows her stuff. And so does he. And then they had a daughter who went to the Rio Olympics in the 400 meter hurdles. So, you know, and then they've put the two together and they're producing Frederick Rupert, one of Europe's best ever steeplers. And could he be, you know, the first European, the first non-African, if you like, to go sub 8 minutes?
It's crazy, isn't it? Like the run he had. And it's interesting what you say about association. Obviously, we've got Jake Shelley coming up on the podcast this week, and he talks a lot about, I guess, identifying people for different reasons. And association is one of them. And we're obviously not saying anything about Rupert either way. We're just highlighting some facts there. But regardless of that, the race itself, super impressive run from him. Took his time, like not really going with it and making sure he paced himself well. And then I think at one point it looked like he was going to catch Elba Cali, but then you see Elba Cali go over that final water jump and you're like, no one's catching him. This is why this guy is so good. Beaten once this year and wasn't going to let it happen again, particularly not on home soil as well. But 8 minutes for him, does it whenever he likes. Rupert, though, 8:01, like you say. What's it going to take to get him under 8 minutes? Is he going to be someone that does it next race, or is that the best we see of this guy? Because I think that's the issue, is consistently getting towards those times, and he's just had the absolute race of his life there. Like, what does he run next?
He's had the race of his life for sure, and everything's set up for him. You know, when they go off that quick, Alba Cali whittles the field down. He's got so many men to aim for, and he's just overtaking men every lap, and then got huge momentum, and then obviously he comes into the last 600 and he's like, Alba Cali's there, you know, and he's hunting him down. And for a moment I was like, he could have probably challenged Al Bakkali even more than he did. But I don't think he was going to lose it on home soil. You know, he was consistently, I guess Rupert was consistently an 8:15 runner. I think he ran 8:15 best part of 3 years in a row since 2022. And then obviously just said, you know, he's changed his training, changed his coaching setup and got a lot more consistent. I think in the steeple, what we have to try and avoid, and people judge steeplers on what they can do in other events. And I think that's really unfair. Because, you know, they judge, you know, Rupert on, what he can do over 1500 or, you know, I think he ran 13:20 odd over 5,000 on the road and his 1500 time. He obviously hasn't run it much, but yeah, 3:45 or something like that. And his 3K 7:45, 7:46, like somewhere in that region. So these are like very average times for a world-class distance runner, but at the end of the day, he's a steepler. Like you don't judge a 5,000 meter runner on what they can do over 800. Like, They are specialists to the 5,000, and I think the steeple, funny enough, bumped into Phil Norman a little while ago, and there's so much work that has to go into the steeple that actually doesn't translate to your flat times, but it's still X amount of hours per week you have to sacrifice towards steeple training, but it's not going to make you a better flat runner. All it does is make you a better steepler, and if you those hours were spent flat running or, you know, building your endurance or working on your speed, etc., you would probably be a lot better over those other distances. So I think, we just have to judge him for what he did on the weekend. And that was just an amazing performance. Credit to him. And it's exciting to see another name. You think Kenneth Rooks opened his season as well, won in the LA Track Fest. So, yeah, the steeple looking competitive. And can someone challenge Al Bakkali? Because he's been untouchable for a good while now.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And someone else who had a great run, obviously, from a British perspective, Max Bergin, 1:43, ticks off his Tokyo standard and just... great to see him running well. It is early in the season though, so we obviously, fingers crossed, he can keep himself ticking over until the world champs.
It's unreal. Like, beats Wanyonyi, Olympic champ, like 41 guy. And Wanyonyi's been in good form. We've seen that from Grand Slams and stuff. But yeah, that Masalela is another freak. 1:42 and 3:30 this year. See, he was seventh in the Olympic final last year, 1:42. He ran on that occasion. So, I mean, that's got to be the fastest time we've ever seen in May, 1:42. Like, I can't remember. You'd have to go back to the history books. I'm sure people have run fast in May, but that is unbelievable what these guys are moving at. And look, are we going to see a world record? We're getting close in the 1500. I feel like we are closer in the 800. Because without Jakob, we're not that close in the 1500.
Yeah.
So it's like, if Jakob can do it, then we're close. But otherwise...
that is the crazy thing about this 800 meters.
Was the 800 there's last 10 year? Of them.
Yeah. It was one race. One race did it last year, and then it all kicked off for the rest of the season. And they started as they finished.
You could almost see a scenario if the world record gets broken this year by one person, it could potentially get broken again by others later on in the year, because they had that flurry, didn't they? They had like that trio of races peak summer, and then they had the Olympic Games where they're all running 1:41s.
What's mental about that is it's probably one of the most ridiculous world records out there. That ridiculous.
Yeah, done by like probably the best ever human you could design to run that event.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And obviously all world records are the best ever. But yeah, 100%. I know what you mean, mate. He is like
best athlete. Like
even if you compare it to eras, though, you'd pick him. Yeah. Whereas some other records, like you wouldn't say Cheptegei is the best ever despite his world record.
But yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Radisha, hands down, is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because the sheer number of men, they are going to be, if you're an 800 runner, you are just praying you get in those right races and you pick the right race at the right time where people go fast. Because if you come out on top in one of these diamond leagues, the chances are you could run a world record this year. That's the level it is. And I think that these season openers and people like Masalela and Bergin running that quick early on proves that. Because the 800 is definitely an event you need like 6, 7, 8 behind you before you're peaking. It's not like a 5. And then the women's 8, talking of 8s, mate, 10 women break 2 minutes. Talk about the numbers. Yeah, I think it was 13 or 14 in that race, but it was a massive pack through 400. They like went through in 56. None of them phased. Yeah, I thought 10 breaking 2 minutes was quite impressive in one race, but maybe that's not. But Degumer and Sekadiza are looking good up front. It's going to be, again, cool to see these two face off against Keeley and Co. when it counts.
For sure, mate. And I guess, yeah, the only other distance race out there was that men's 1500, and Jonah Kowech dropped his PB from 337 down to 331 emphatic fashion. To obviously get the win, and seemed very happy with his Under Armour spikes after the race as well, giving it a bit. He was happy, and that throws a spanner in the works for a lot of Americans, I'm sure, because he's not someone who's been, I guess, on the radar for making teams in the past couple of years.
No, he hasn't. He had a good year over the 800 and stuff last year, didn't he? But yeah, it's just another name in there, 28-year-old, so he's going to be... Yeah, talking of exciting talents, yeah, he's someone who's probably going to be in contention over the 1500. We haven't seen the 1500 boys really get rolling yet, though. Like, you know, these early season Diamond Leagues.
But how many people have won a Diamond League? You know,
well, like, yeah, true. But
weird,
I mean,
it's weird. It's a weird one because
all the big 1500 guys are getting having to do Grand Slams, so yeah. We haven't seen them in these the pre-classic will be the one where we see them all line up together. So. But no, the men's 1500 was a good race, but just overshadowed by some
17 of them in there as well, which was absolutely ridiculous for his first 200.
But the thing is, in Diamond Leagues, like that is a lot of people. But in a Diamond League, when you have a pacer, you have wave lights, it strings out. So it's actually not that big of a deal. It's like in the 5000 when they have 20 in there or the steeple. It's like, well, if the winner's running 8 flat and you know you've got guys running 8:15, 8:20, what does it matter? It's like if Chebet's running 8:11. The whole race is going to be completely strung out. So you have 30 in there. There's plenty of space on the track for you all. But when it's tactical, then I guess it's a problem if there's 20 in there, because then you're just all bunched and everyone's falling over like we saw at the Olympic Games. No one could run in a pack.
But then saying that, in a tactical race, I'd almost rather that it's like that. Like Grand Slam, I'd love them to be 30 of them in there and they're all jostling around a 14-minute pace, because it's all for entertainment. Whereas in the Diamond League, I get what you're saying, but when it does come in and people fall over when they are all just trying to run a quick time and they're not actually trying to jostle for position, then it's like, oh, that's a shame. Whereas if people fall over in a tactical race, I'm like, well, that's part and parcel, and actually that's exciting. That's made it good. Like people falling over, you're indoors, like I'm all for it, you know. It's unfortunate for the athletes, but it's great entertainment. If you're falling over trying to time trial though, it's like, did that really need to happen?
Yeah, you make a good point. Mate, if you want to watch too many people in a race, you gotta go on YouTube and watch, was it the ACC or the SEC 5000? It is unbelievable. I think there's like 50 of them on the track. There's so many falls. It's absolute chaos. But yeah, they don't care over there. But yeah, you got to watch. I think it's the SEC 5000. Unbelievable. But anyway, let's move on to the LA Track Fest, talking about America. Some great performances. Melissa Courtney-Bright and Hannah Nuttall both running some smart 5Ks. 14:48 early doors for Courtney-Bright, backing up what we saw from her indoors, and Nuttall 14:50, which, as you pointed out, was like, was it 0.3 or 4 off the official world's time, but the consideration standards, is that the right terminology?
Yeah,
is 14:57, so she's well inside that.
Yeah, so look, it's early doors, and we probably back Nuttall to take like point whatever off her time. The standard's 14:50.00. But if she doesn't, we're hoping that these consideration standards mean that if she's in a world ranking spot, and obviously I'm sure she'll do well at British Champs as she always does, then she'll be absolutely fine. So yeah, hopefully these consideration standards are pretty good. Like they're quite fair in terms of like 13:10 for the men, 14:57 for the women. It puts a lot more people into the action and give them a chance to go off world ranking. So look, that's what we've been asking for. So obviously selection hasn't come out yet. We'll see later down the line before we can confirm it as a success, but looks good. Courtney-Bright though, obviously backing up a super fast time indoors, and she's ticked it off. She's well inside the standard. She can just get ready for British Champs and kick on from there.
She's feet up, mate. Feet up for her. Like, unlike Westy, who just faded a little bit and was running pretty well, but just 13:27 his final time, ran the last 800 in 2:20, 2:21. So I don't really know what happened to him. But, you know, up until about three laps to go, was right on pace, was in with the main group, was in with the pack, just completely blew up. So... strange because, yeah, you talk about that 13:10. Yeah, that's the time Westy would have liked to. He would have liked to compete in that race. I mean, it was actually quite reasonable. Like, it went off at a nice pace. And, you know, yeah, okay, Eduardo Herrera absolutely ran away with it in the end, to be fair. But that was mostly done in the last sort of 600 meters. Whereas, you know, people like Kai Robinson, World Indoor medalist, you know, Woody Kincaid, these guys running 13:05s. And I think Westy would have liked to, even Koskaran 13:11, would have liked to try and compete with those boys. So, yeah, not sure what happened there, but...
Herrera, of course, has been on the pod, so go back and listen to that.
That's a huge run, yeah. It's just, just another person running sub 13 minutes is commonplace these days. But the biggest run from the LA Track Fest was Elise Thorne, mate.
Yeah.
And dipping again, inside that world inside standard. Dipping inside 9:18. What's the consideration standard for the women's steeple?
So 9:18 for the main standard, and the consideration is 9:22.5.
Oh, yeah. So she's smashed both. But yeah, huge run from her. Congrats, because, you know, with the likes of Lizzie Bird, and Amy Pratt, just I'm not sure we're going to see them this year. So
yeah, it's been quiet for a couple of years now, haven't they? Obviously, have come back out and raced as well. But I think potentially it's just a bit of a change in the guard. Those two have been dominant for a while now, and just not racing as much. Look, hopefully we do see them and we can have three. But if we don't, I don't think it's they've had a pretty consistent run of years at the top of the British rankings.
Well, sure. Mate, Lizzie Bird was insane last year. You know, 9:04, 17 Olympic Games. She has just spearheaded British steepling, full stop. What she's done in the steeplechase has been so impressive. I can't remember if I read at the end of last year that she was going to take a bit of a back step this year. So I might be wrong. I might just purely be imagining that. But
no, I think you might be right, mate. It rings a bell. I feel like she might be going back into full-time work.
I think that's it, yeah.
Training as well, but doing that.
Yeah, I swear, just a bit of a back step. I thought I read that last year, but so it's good to see Elise Thorne. Like, yeah, she's going to be at the World Champs if she can stay healthy, and that's going to be a huge, huge experience for her. And if she can get, you know, she's seen the likes of Lizzie Bird compete in these finals. When you're running 9:17, look, if she can improve on that a little bit, she's going to make a world championship final, as long as she, you know, can kick, which she proved she could on the weekend as well. So we got a new steepler, a new world-class steepler amongst us. 1500s, mate, you had Whiteman and Katie Snowden, but yeah, Whiteman back to winning. We know the guy loves to win. He loves to compete, and he's got a nice win under him pre his altitude camp in Flak.
Yeah, nice win, and in a pretty like messy fashion as well, which if I think I said to you before we started recording, mate, I was like, that's a good sign. Like, if you're running the clean 3:35, mm-hmm. then you're like, okay, nothing to write home about. But I think actually it was pretty messy. He looked pretty rusty, and the way he still absolutely dominated the race, kind of in the last 50 meters, you're like, okay, We can see which Jake Wyman we can get this year, and we obviously hope that he's back towards his best. But it is hard because 3:35 is a long way off the world standard these days.
Yeah, 55 last lap, 35. It's not horrendous, is it? But you're right. That is, you know, he needs to put 3 3/4 of those back to back, pretty much. Well, needs to be at that finish, but he's got a long way to go. If I was Wyman, I mean, I'd be very happy with that. And it just comes down to, if he can stay healthy until September, I actually think he's going to be in a really good spot. And I think he tactically is going to altitude now, obviously, because the pre-classic is going to be in July. So it looks like we probably won't see him race for 4 weeks. He'll be altitude that whole time, pre-classic in July maybe. And then he's going to roll on. Obviously, he'll have the British champs in at the beginning of August, which he's going to have to do. And then obviously the world in September. I actually think if he stays healthy, he's setting himself up for a very good season, obviously. But you look at the way Gawley and Kerr are running, and yeah, that world's team. But actually, we're going to get four men, so it's all good. Pressure's off a little bit, because Kerr is obviously defending world champ, so pressure is off, which is nice. For someone like Whiteman and Gawley, I guess it's not as important to, they won't have to stress over trials too much.
I mean, you say that, it's British men's 1500 meter running.
Mate,
so
they'll easily...
You might not have seen it yet, but who knows, mate, by the time those
They're not finishing outside the medals, but I think, to be honest, like if Kerr's not in the race, Wyman and Gawley wouldn't finish outside the medals. So I think they can they've got like an extra spot that they can just relax a little bit about on race day, which I think is quite nice. So let's see how that, see how he develops and on that front. And then Katie Snowden, 403 on the women's side again. Yeah, she's probably going to need to do a lot more come the peak of the summer.
Yeah, again, though, the women's 1500s, and I said this last week, mate, they've just not been
that quick. They ran 358 pre the actual Diamond League. There was like a national 1500. No Brits in there, but it was one in 358. So they're getting there, mate.
I don't know. We'll see how Georgia Bell gets on at Grand Slam next
week. So harsh. Yeah, right.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I honestly couldn't care less if they run 405 and win the race. Do you know what I mean? I just want to see a good race. So
yeah.
See.
Crikey, man. There was so much on this weekend. Like, we haven't even got to Comeback. I mean, Comeback 5000. Great event. Great spectacle. It is a classy British event that Steve and the team put on at Battersea. 17 men break 14 minutes. The women's race, very exciting, tactical, but really exciting. So many of them, again, I think it was 10 of them in contention with 600 to go at the bell even, and massive packs swarming around and a load of women running inside 16:10 and close to 16 minutes. No one broke it though, but India Weir obviously won in 16:03. I'm sure everyone's seen that now by now, and Lucy Jones second. But yeah, to put into context, you know, those two running 15:44 and 15:48 on the roads in February at Battersea Friday Night Under Lights. So they had a nice little battle once again against each other. But it's pretty good from Lucy Jones coming off the marathon a few weeks ago as well. So.
And we know the track's a bit slower. Like, unless you're literally like, for the men, like a 13-minute guy, or for the women, I guess 14:30 and under almost, or even maybe kind of just sub 15. I do think the road is just far quicker, unless you're at the top end.
Well, this is what was encouraging about the men's race, though, is actually they all ran quicker than they ran at Podium Festival. And they had, you know, the first 10 all ran PBs. And that was outright PBs as well. So that was actually pretty good to see, you know, whether they've run at Armagh or wherever. Yeah. The first 10 all ran outright PBs.
That is unusual.
Well, to be fair, the track is quicker. The track is quicker. I just think at that level, it is easier to find...
That's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Yeah, it's easier to find a deeper road race at that level than it is to find a deep track race. Fair play to, you know, all the top 5,000 meters in the country. They're all pretty much all a comeback. You know, bar the likes of, who are we missing? Wheeler, Zach Mohammed, Kingston. But they went out to Belgium, similar thing, and ran a very similar time. You know, 13:31, 13:32, and I think Kingston ran 13:41 somewhere. Oh, and Ellis Cross 13:38. So, but those four guys, they could have all been in this comeback race and it would have been even more loaded.
Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it, how people make these decisions to go and run in certain places. And when you've obviously got meets on your door, Izzy Fry also in Ordegem 15:20. I know obviously that comeback race isn't appropriate for her, but you kind of think, could you have got out to LA Trackfest and got in on the action with Courtney Bryant and Nuttall, you know? But obviously, look, we don't know the individual athletes and kind of where their form's at and things like that. But
no, Belgium is usually class. For the past couple of years, it's been really strong. I think the 5,000 has taken a bit of a hit at Belgium. It's definitely not what it was.
You say that, mate. It's not standard territory, though. It's a great meet, but it's not world standard territory, and it never really has been.
No, mate. Last year, what did Westy run there? And I think Jan Skrub might have run 13:03 or something there last year. I'm pretty sure. So, like,
I could be wrong, mate, but I don't associate it with going and running a world standard. I consider it as you're one level below that. Going and running like a super good domestic time, essentially.
No, mate. Last year was class. I've just quickly got the results up, mate. Skrub 13:04. 13:05 for second. I mean, Westy was fourth, 13:09. So last year it rolled along pretty nicely. Wheeler, 13:23. He was in 14th. So when you come in 14th in 13:23, it's a pretty good race.
Yeah. Okay.
So I just think it didn't play out this year. And this is the luck of the draw. Like, the 5Ks just were nowhere near as deep at that sharp end, at that 13:10 and below. And on the women's side, you know, sort of 15 minutes or below. There you have it. What else went down? There was lots of results in Belgium. A lot of Brits running sub 340 for 1500, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was, mate. I think three sub 340. Barnico in a 1500 meters 342. Obviously not his event. But is what it is. I think if he can still
close 5K,
does it matter?
Yeah, like that's where it's like, do you really need to go to Belgium for a 1500? You can get a good 1500.
Yeah. Unless he was going to do the 5 and it was already booked and then he decided it wasn't right for the timing.
Maybe.
That's the only reason I'd, yeah, like you say, why else would you do that? Because it doesn't seem like you could just go to the BMC and
look. Mate, I mean, Joe, Wigfield's rocking up at Bannister Miles early May running 356. Like, yeah, I'm going to go to Belgium. Someone like him hasn't. Got to go to Belgium to run a 15. Yeah, which is, I would have thought he'd look at that comeback and be like, get after that, or Belgium as well in the 5.
Hey, it's a little holiday though, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
It's a little holiday, man.
Don't know what they're...
Hey, he's opened his season, man. I'm sure he's going to be threatening in the 5,000. We can't wait to see what he can do. Hey, so, yeah, I guess the final meet worth talking about is Zagreb and Justin Davies on fire. Another win for him.
Ticked off consideration standard. Not far off the world standard. And we imagine he'll keep chipping away at it. And yeah, he's just gone from strength to strength since all indoors, hasn't he, mate?
Yeah, he's a really, really good racer. Win in Zagreb, 144.87. Yeah, that consideration standard you keep talking about, 145.2 for the men's 800. So, and then we had a couple of women race, Boffy 202, Aaron Wallace 202, Ava Lloyd 410 in Zagreb. So, yeah, lots of results. Everyone is pretty much opened up their season now, or if they haven't, they will be in the next week or two. And then time to have a quick preview at Grand Slam, mate. Look at the short distance. We got the usual suspect.
Hey, that's what we're excited about, mate. We obviously mentioned it earlier. Georgia Bell finally lining up in the event that is made for her, the 800, 1500 meter double, and really excited to see how she gets on. Giles as well going over on the men's side. And we'll see our first look at the, I guess, the singular long distance event, just a 3K this weekend.
Yes, we will. The names in it are quite exciting. Grant Fisher. Obviously, Quemoy, Gebrewet's back, we think. Graham Blanks, Nico Young, Kai Robinson, Edwin Kergap. He's a broken 13 minutes many occasions. And Andrew Coskren. So we've got a cool field. I'm excited to see Graham Blanks and Nico Young, to be honest. But yeah, Kai Robinson raced last week, 13.05 on the weekend. So did Coskren, 13.11. Yeah, those boys, how will they fare bouncing back? But yeah, I mean, it's going to be another Grant Fisher masterclass, I think. Can't see him losing out on that one.
Yeah, over one race now.
Over one race. He'll make a buck.
Coskren do him again as well.
Yeah, dude, he learned his lesson. Like, come on. Like, the guy can run 7:20. He learned his lesson.
Also, Nico Young's not one to let hang about, even at Grand Slam. So, I think, yeah, there's enough guys in there who are happy to take up the running. So, it'll be good.
Yeah.
I know Gebrewet, to be fair, he's probably the one who might make this quick.
We haven't got any Brits in there, women's long distance, but obviously, yeah, short distance, you mentioned Georgia Bell. And then other than that, Jess Hull, Nikki Hiltz, Walter J, Mora, Addy Wiley. She did the Diamond League, ran, got third, I think. Abby Caldwell, Nia Atkins. So obviously the men's short distance, we've got the great field as always, plus Josh Hoey, Kessler, Giles and Sam Chappell.
Oh, yes, and Kerr coming off the win last time. Is he going to back it up again? Get himself another 100K?
So, it is a shame. Those poor men in the long distance, their prize money has been cut. But so we've got Grand Slam to look forward to this weekend. And then we're rolling it. The following weekend, we've got that Birmingham Grand Prix, which I think, unfortunately, we haven't even mentioned the Bury BMC. But with everything that went on, it kind of just got overshadowed a little bit. Like, even just all the Brits that running the 5K down at comeback, you know, the 5Ks took a big hit in the Bury BMC and the 8s and the 15s. So, yeah. But I think the Birmingham Grand Prix will be obviously a lot bigger just where it falls. And then, obviously, we've got the 10,000 metre champs. Yeah. I don't know who's... I got no idea who's going to commit to that.
Wow.
I saw Rory Leonard saying he's going to open up his season in Finland in a few weeks' time. I was thinking, is he maybe not committing to that 10K champs? Is Scott Beattie going to do a 10K champs? Is Paddy Deva, obviously Alistair Craig's like, we're not sure.
He has hinted. Craig, that he
Deva's it. Yeah.
He's going to try and get him there, but...
Have you got the entries up?
No.
Oh, I was going to say,
on the pod, he entered, mate.
No, I know. So, like, obviously, by the way, Emil, Jesus, he ran 27:49 on the weekend, got second in that Laredo 10K, or Laredo 10K in Spain.
Again, will we see him?
That's what I mean. I'm just like, this could be...
We have the potential to have an unbelievable field.
Or a poor field.
Yeah.
Or a poor field.
And that is a shame.
And, it just doesn't seem like many big dogs are taking it seriously. Sam Atkin, will he do it? Hey, who knows? We will find out in a few weeks, though. But yeah, that's it. That's the mega weekend roundup. Jesus, there was a lot of athletics to consume this weekend.
There was. We hope you guys enjoyed watching it. And thanks, as always, for listening to us. And we'll catch you very soon. Obviously, Jake Shelley, as I mentioned earlier, on the podcast this week, does a lot of work at trying to catch the baddies in cycling, actually. But obviously, runner himself and has a keen interest in drugs and catching the drugs cheats in running too. So spoke to him in depth about that. So if you're interested in that sort of thing, this will be a great one for you, all you science guys out there. And we try and get him to explain it so that we understood as well. So look forward to that episode. I'm going to catch you guys very soon.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Tired of all the bugs in your yard? Enjoy your backyard again with Cutter Backyard Ready to Spray Bug Control at Menards. It kills mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, and other insects fast, controlling them for up to 12 weeks. A 32-ounce Ready to Spray container covers up to 5,000 square feet and is on sale now through July 13th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big.